Let us turn now to Psalm 36 and let us read verse 8. Psalm 36 and at verse 8. They should be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. But just now, the first part of the verse, they should be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Excuse me. Now, obviously, this is an Old Testament psalm. This is a psalm that was written in the context of Old Testament worship. So when we read of God's house, we should immediately recognize that David is thinking of the tabernacle. And it was very much the same thing if he had lived in a later generation and had thought of the temple. It was the place where God's honor dwelt, God's glory. And you can think of that in particular as the special symbol of God's presence, the Shekinah glory, the cloud that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness and was now within the tabernacle first of all and then the temple. And whenever anyone thought of going up to the temple, what they would think of was that they were going to a place where there was that particular sign of the presence of God himself. Now, we live in the New Testament age and follow New Testament worship, but we should be able, sometimes it's going to be very difficult, sometimes we should find it more obvious to apply the Old Testament picture, as one might call it, to the New Testament reality. And when we read this, they should be abundantly satisfied with the fullness, with the fatness of thy house, that we should think of the house of God as where the preaching, setting forth God and what he has revealed, where that is made known. The preaching of spiritual realities. And as we consider a portion of truth here, in its Old Testament context, we should be wanting to apply it to our New Testament circumstances and see in what way it may be true of us to be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of God's house. Now, it may be that the reference to the fatness of God's house is particularly in connection with the peace offerings that we were reading about. Now, no doubt there are other ways in which it can be applied. But what we see about the peace offerings is, first of all, that the offering was made on the burnt offering. That was part of the instruction that was given. It was that altar that was used for this offering. And Aaron's sons were to burn parts of the peace offering on the altar upon the burnt offering, or at least on the part of the burnt offering that was still not consumed, not finally consumed. There was a burnt offering offered every day at the tabernacle. We'll speak about the tabernacle rather than the temple, since it was what David knew. But you see, the first thing we might say is, in relation to the sacrifices, that the burnt sacrifice, these, in particular, these two lambs that were offered day by day, one in the morning and one in the evening, they were speaking of God being reconciled to sinners. Now, the offering was for all the Israelites. And when they were sinning, and perhaps something happened, and they spoke unwisely, and the sinner might say, "Oh, how can that sin be forgiven? I have sinned. How can it be forgiven?" And he might think of the burnt offering that had already been offered. And he could say to himself, "Yes, God is willing to be reconciled even to sinners like me. God is willing to be reconciled." And he might go before the Lord and say, "Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." And it's not that any of these offerings could take away any sin whatever in the reality of the thing. But these offerings were declaring many a thing. And they were declaring in particular God's willingness to be reconciled to sinners. They were making clear that it was through the death of a substitute that sin could be taken away. They were speaking of the need for suffering, suffering even unto death. And there was all that, no doubt, much more. But it was the peace offering that I mentioned in particular. And yes, the peace offering must be killed. And parts of the peace offering, the best parts, it was no doubt intended to say, the best parts, the fat from one place and another, and other things. But no doubt what we are to think of is that here was the best part that was to be offered up to God by way of sacrifice. And there would be no doubt something of a thankful spirit being appropriate when the offerer gave up these particular parts of the animal, whether it was a lamb or whatever it was. It was the best parts that were given to God, so to speak. And then what was left, they could eat of it. The priest was given a share, and we can just pass that over just now. But You see, the offerer and his family were there before God, and they were to feast on the lamb that had been offered. They were to feast on that lamb, or whatever animal it might be. And God had been given his share, so to speak, of the animal as well. There was a communion, you see, there was fellowship between God and the sinner on such an occasion. Now, of course, our minds are to go forward to the sacrifice of Christ. And all these sacrifices are pointing forward to the Savior. All these sacrifices, they are pointing to the Savior and what he did when he offered himself a sacrifice to take away sin. And we are told of the blessedness of the one that are the blessedness of those. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And that's at the end of Psalm 2, and you have references to Christ as the Son of the Father, the Son of God. The reference to him as the one who has been anointed, having been appointed king over the church of God. Now, here is Christ then as priest. Here is Christ as the offering when we think of the sacrifices. And what a sacrifice it was, what a precious sacrifice it was in when Christ offered up himself. Now, that's what we're to look to. We're called to look to Christ. We're called to trust in him. And we're told of the blessedness of those who do trust in Christ. Ah, blessed. Blessed are all they here that put their trust in the Savior. And let us think of this, that they look to Christ in connection with what he did so that sinners might be reconciled to God, so that sinners like them might be reconciled to God. And then we are to think of this, having fellowship with God in Christ, that we have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, if we are trusting in him. Now, notice this, what we have in our text. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Now, the word that is translated as abundantly satisfied, it can have various shades of meaning, and I'm not going to go into that in detail. But you might translate the word as saturated. And all I want to bring out just now is the fullness of blessing that is in connection with having fellowship with Christ and being trusting in him. Blessed they are. That is great blessing. Unspeakable blessing, indescribable blessing, indescribable blessing. And they are to, if they are in particular under the preaching of the word and in the house of God, as we use the term in New Testament times, and hear Christ proclaimed and the blessings that he has purchased for people like them who trust in the Lord, peace having been established, and they are entering into fellowship in some measure, in one degree or another, with the Lord, in connection with the blessings that he has purchased for sinners. They are to say, they are to recognize when they are abundantly satisfied, abundantly blessed, abundantly filled with a sense of what is to be understood in connection with the great blessings that are poured out when the Lord comes to have communion with a sinner, and in particular in connection with the preaching of the word. And it may be in connection with the prayer that is offered up, and the prayers, and they are enabled to enter into these prayers themselves. And they are abundantly satisfied with what is declared of the glorious provision that the Lord has made for sinners like them in Christ, the great sacrifice. Now, you see, in applying the idea of the peace offering, we might say this, that communion is particularly on the basis of recognizing that peace has been established between sinners and God. Peace has been established between sinners and God. And if they have some sense of assurance, then they can say, peace has been established between me and God. Peace has been established between me and God. And surely they can be abundantly satisfied if their minds and hearts are filled with that kind of thought, the abundant blessing and the abundant satisfaction of the one who gets some trust in that. Now, if you were to think of David being at the house of God, and in the light of that, he writes Psalm 23. If he is perhaps in some waste place where he has fled from Saul, but he knows that every day he is included in those for whom the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, are offered at the temple. And David can go to the temple in spirit, tabernacle I meant to be saying just now. David can go in spirit to the tabernacle, and he can think of God as one who is ready to be reconciled to sinners like him. And he can enter into the spirit of the peace offering, that because of atonement made, because there is more particularly an atonement to be made, looking forward to the Messiah and what he is to come, what he is to do when he will come. And he can enter into the spirit of the peace offering. And he can have communion with God and have a sense, an abundant sense of the blessings that flow from the sacrifices that are offered. And he can say, goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what great blessing there is there. What abundant satisfaction there is in connection with these things for a believing soul. They can be abundantly satisfied, whether it's in the house of God or at some other time. But you see, God is pleased particularly to give a blessing with the preached word. It's a particular particular time of blessing that the Lord can give. And as I said, he is not confined to temples made with hands. I didn't say it in these words, but that sort of thing. He is not confined to the public worship. He's not confined to giving a blessing at public worship. But this is a particular ordinance that the Lord is pleased to bless. And if the Lord comes to speak to one of his children or to draw a sinner into his kingdom and give them abundant satisfaction in connection with what Christ has done and what there is within the covenant of grace as promised to his children, and how much there is summed up in these words of David, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And that's not the end of it. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Endless blessing. What a great matter it is for a sinner to benefit from the work of Christ. And it's not just for a while, it's forever. There may be particular blessings that fade, particular times of hearing the word that came with power, and the power fades, the effect fades, the sense of it fades. But you see, for all that, the blessings of the covenant of grace, they will never fade away. The goodwill of Christ to sinners, they will never come to an end. Yes. And you might think of what the church says and what individual believers say. "I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." The believer, in thinking of that passage, might well pluck various fruits of the tree of gospel blessing. Think of this. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, you can chew over that, and you can suck the juice of that fruit, one might say, and be abundantly satisfied, because it is a one great statement of what you might call the fatness of the house of the Lord. What the Lord speaks to his children and speaks to those that he is bringing into his kingdom. And oh, if the sinner gets a clear view of Christ as the Savior of sinners, if the sinner sees that it is indeed a faithful saying and worthy of all their acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, what fatness is there? The fatness of God's house. The fatness of their peace offerings, so that they can enter into a communion with God in connection with whatever particular statement of God's truth it might be. And if they then are able to see God is reconciled to them, that he has made peace with them. And we might think too that the peace offering may suggest, and the communion with God in connection with the peace offering It may suggest the goodwill of the Lord for their well-being. Now, what I'm thinking of in saying that is that the word peace, and we've had that on previous occasions, at least one occasion, the idea of the word translated peace is rather wider than the English word. And you could take the idea of well-being as summing up the whole idea. And think of this, meditate on this as you, so to speak, offer up a peace offering before God. At any rate, enter into a fellowship with God and his goodness in these ways, and say that God's provision for your well-being is contained in the work of Christ. Not just that you might be reconciled to God, and that's a great matter. But you see, we're to go further, and that there's a complete provision for your soul, a complete provision for all your circumstances as God sees and understands your need. A complete provision for your spiritual well-being. And that there's this, that you will be provided for in every way. Now, notice David's desire in Psalm 27, where we were singing. His desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And how would he behold the beauty of the Lord? Well, leave it at this just now. The beauty of the Lord displayed in his willingness to be reconciled to sinners. How beautiful that is, that he is willing to be reconciled to sinners. And you have that declared, it should be declared repeatedly in the house of God, in the New Testament sense. Every sacrifice was a declaration of that beautiful thing, that God is willing to be reconciled to sinners, that God is willing to bless those who trust in him with all spiritual blessings, them in particular. But the willingness, as I expressed it, to be reconciled to sinners, that's been proclaimed to all. That's not to be questioned. That the Lord is making himself known as one who is willing to be reconciled to sinners. And you are to read in that statement the Lord's expression of it, expression you choose along these lines. But take this one. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Now if you by grace latch hold onto that, latch hold of that, then will there not be something of this, being abundantly satisfied? Now you see, faith is satisfaction with God's provision in Christ. But what we have here is something more intense, being abundantly satisfied with the divine provision, abundantly satisfied. Oh, may the Lord be so blessing us that we would be abundantly satisfied. And that, you see, and I've been making reference to that a little. That's a blessing that will never end. It's very imperfect in this world. Everything's very imperfect, except the divine work, the divine revelation. But the experience of the believer is imperfect. But you see, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They will be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what blessing is there? And as they, so to speak, sit around that table, as they partake of the feast that will be set before them in eternity, what blessedness they will experience. What blessedness the children of God will experience. What blessedness David is enjoying in heaven now. What fatness has been set before him. What communion he is able to enter into now with the Lord of glory. And how abundantly satisfied he is. And how abundantly satisfied they all are who have left us in this world for a better world in heaven above. And it should be our desire in coming to the house of God to get something of that blessing that we have been trying to speak about in God's goodness here when Christ and salvation through him in particular is set before us. May the Lord bless his word to us.